So, notion of transforming from blight to life, as we talked about at this, backtracking. Appreciate being here and having the opportunity. Thanks so much for this opportunity. It's great to be here, to be able to share a panel with Joanna, Brad, and Harry. All of this discourse is so key in trying to figure out how to create these productive landscapes, and that's one of the things that we're going to be focusing on in this type of presentation. But we also make it really, really messy. Our job is to kind of agitate and remediate, so to speak. There's a lot of toxicity, and there's a lot of toxicity in the rhetoric of conversations around health and public health and mental health in our neighborhoods. And I will show you, and we'll dive right in. So transforming from blight to life. Blight being the term is the death or decay of a crop so that it no longer sustains life. Very tricky term because it's an economic devaluation term that has been transferred from plants and paleontology to communities. So then you have indications of things like this. People say it's a blighted community. It means there's death and decay of that community so that there's no longer life in that community. I take offense to the term and the application of the term to say that there's no life in that community. It becomes prescriptive pathology. So when you have a housing typology, that building on the top left in Inglewood is probably more than likely somebody not being able to pay their heating bill. The building and the structure is totally fine. There are different variations of degrees of blight and decay, and to kind of just put a uniform scope is very problematic. It just starts sending a level of a signal to the community that there's no hope and there's no chance there. The other typology is the multifamily housing, vacant lots. You have the erasure of the public housing, which we'll talk about in a little bit, storefronts, et cetera, et cetera. The red X building, how many people are from Chicago? And you're familiar with the red X's? So they're technically condemned because some firefighters lost their lives going into some buildings that caught fire or the roof collapsed. So then there's a series pasted across the landscape. The writing is literally on the wall that these houses are not going to be here that longer. So it sends a signal to kids that walk to school every day. It creates a moment of apathy and other types of activity happening within those buildings and those spaces, which is not reiterative of life. Right, so it changes the signals of how the brains work and receive information. So what's interesting, though, industrial warehouses that are boarded up, that are kind of a signifier of the history of the beauty of work in Chicago and the Rust Belt before it became the Rust Belt, right? So when you have that, that's your challenge. Your neighborhoods are in challenge, your education's in challenge, your jobs, you cannot even talk about future. Most kids, we ask, what do you want to be? And it's like, I want to be alive. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. They don't know exactly what they want to be. They do know with the right exposure that they can be something. It's just about the exposure. And it's really not even about the education. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. When you close 50 schools, and seven of which in one concentrated neighborhood, you have to question what is the end game outcome, and how does this really support or detract from the trajectory of a productive landscape. So, myself, I am a mess. My roots are all intertwined between being an artist, an architect, an urban designer. I went to school for a bachelor's of architecture at Cornell University, master's in architecture and urban design at Columbia University in New York, a doctorate in program for urban planning, and then I started farming. And the real work began. All right, so the urban planner, urban farmer, and aquapon. I'm also a budding aquapon for the past 5 years. I've been the director of Aquaponics Center at Chicago State University, where we teach neighborhood development, sustainability, people and environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Three Water Foundation, there grows the neighborhood, pun intended. So we talk about the concept of there goes the neighborhood and there grows the neighborhood. We have to talk about the policy and the landscape of housing policies that have created some problems, the incarceration policy, the policies that reinforce incarceration rates, stop and frisk, all these other patterns that are honestly creating post-traumatic stress disorder in our youth. And nobody talks about that. We deal with the notion of STEM versus STEAM, science, technology, engineering, math. We agitate by saying science, technology, agriculture, aquaponics, arts and design, A+. Looks better. right? And it also speaks to real forms of education and holistic approaches towards an individual cultivating themselves. Our formula for regenerative placemaking, much like Brad was referring to earlier, and, you know, if you have these landscapes that are kind of just idle, they're frozen. Let me do something I don't know what they do. I'm going to go back to this thing. That, does anybody know the real estate term for those properties that they're frozen for 3 years? It's a zombie property. It is called a zombie property. That sends another signal that you're walking dead. You're half dead. It's literally called a zombie. If you look up zombie property and the research around zombie properties, there is a lot of challenges around our terminology, the prescriptive pathology, what have you. So we look at a regenerative placemaking strategy of urban agriculture meets aquaponics, meets arts, meets education, and that's how people find themselves for career pathways. So how many people, by show of hands really quickly, are familiar with aquaponics? So recirculating water ecosystem. There you feed the fish, they eat, they fertilize the water. The plants are filtered by the water to go to the fish. The beauty of this is that the Nitrosomonas, Nitrospira, and Nitrobacter, the bacteria, are the ones converting the nitrite into a nitrate, which is a food source for the plants. So you feed the fish, and what would otherwise kill the fish becomes a nutrient source right in the system for the plants. Plants convert the water to go back to the fish. There's a lot of education there. What we are doing is gaming the process from an education side of saying, let's start with this juggle of water, fish, plants, and design and build. Kids always love these things. We encourage them to use them in a productive manner. Photos, videos, reflections, they can tweet about it, Snapchat about it in a productive way, not your drama about your boyfriend and your girlfriend. But in the process, you're learning water chemistry, hydrology. You know, these are career pathways. You can start going into all these different avenues. You can start off with water and end up in a culinary track. So over time, we've applied an apprenticeship model. Junior level apprentice, 3 to 6 months. You only reach 25 people, but you've reached 25 people in a productive way. You've taught it, you've shared it, you've learned it, you've eaten from your system. Senior level, 125. Journeyman, probably 1,000 people over 2 years. And then you begin to travel. You start presenting on behalf. And it's a peer-to-peer. This is a real-world peer-to-peer program. So the trick is there is no mastery because technology keeps changing. But you go on this long journey with other people, and you watch this ecosystem arise as you're going on that journey. So hacking plastic, because you can do it anywhere with no excuses. We can talk about BSA free. We can talk about this. What is the role of plastics? What's the issues of leaching? But if you hack plastic and create a Tupperware system that's under $20, and you marry it to an Arduino and a Raspberry Pi to get a monitoring system so you can teach computer science, you got people's attention. We currently have, well, we'll get to that in a second too. But to evolve from that as an experiment goes from the household level to the reawakening and reimagining of an industrial warehouse at a commercial scale level, to do aquaponics where you now produce chard in an area that does not have access to chard. Leafy greens grow really fantastic in aquaponics systems, same thing with herbs, different types of stuff. You have a certain amount of space, certain amount of life. There's a formula, for an architectural formula for how to revitalize these industrial sites indoors, not outdoors in some contaminated soil. What's interesting is it creates an interface for people to meet each other, to break some barriers, some geographic, racial, cultural, what have you, lines, to share information about upcycling, and then begin to use free resources for 3D modeling. So our kids are starting to learn how to do 3D modeling in high school to create and cultivate their visions. Our ecosystem becomes a dynamic network of community users, educators, employers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that include faith-based and universities and people from the area and hobbyists and people that travel and in different cities that are looking at issues of food, soil, water, and energy. As an artistic project, we've been using this framework of the mycelia project. Mycelia is the vegetative part of the fungus, like the mushrooms. It has a root structure, a hyphal root structure that it grows and expands. And as a educational yet artistic process, we say there's three phases: the science of life, the art of science, and the art of life. You can graduate through our programming as long as you cultivate, and you share, and you eat, and you cultivate more, and you expand. So, for instance, this is an installation we did at a school, but they ended up with the principal doing it at her home. So she lives her installation with her youth, and she's working with 25 youth that are dealing with anger management issues that they coupled with the veterans across the street that worked in, together to build the system, the veterans dealing with chemical substance abuse, what have you, homeless veterans that found each other, created an ecosystem. We can make it sexy. So you do the future of food as an installation around a hydroponic table married to an aquaponic wall. Encourages your imagination. An installation for a culinary institute. Of course, that's appropriate if you have basil and mints and all types of great herbs and stuff that's very aromatic that goes onto a plate. So then we take it a step further. What do we do with these spaces? And how do we have these kids literally begin to translate their lessons learned into transforming these spaces? So we're married to this notion of the hive, which is an exploratory reconnection of learning in the 21st century, and it's MacArthur Foundation, which is an open source platform, MacArthur Foundation, Mozilla Foundation, which is open source digital media platform, and there's a cluster of like 125 organizations looking at alternative education, experiential learning for cities of learning. So the city becomes the landscape. Here's an example. That was a lot of the other kind of education side, but here's the practical example at Perry, right? If we have this concept of stabilizing housing, and you meet people, and you talk to people, and you say, are you hungry? Do you have any kids at the household? And we start saying, come do some education with us, non-traditional education. You can have a high school dropout. You can have folks that are halfway towards PhD, whatever. We do an apprenticeship project that connects learning through urban agriculture, through the revitalization of the neighborhood, that links towards a pilot project which we're currently doing right now with MacArthur Foundation and the University of Chicago Crime Lab, monitoring the impact of crime and violence in our neighborhood, married to our program of urban agriculture. Very messy, but very beautiful. Then you get products, and you have a pathway for creating a local economy. So that whole, a 2-acre site, which there's so much history here, that used to be Mosley High School, one of the oldest schools of social reform in the city of Chicago, that changed and moved from downtown to the south side as the city began to expand and do what it did, right? From 1856. Mosley High School, a school of social reform that is also linked to heightened incarceration rates. It said it's a $1 million block, $2.79 million of taxpayers' dollars are currently supporting incarcerated individuals from that site. And you see all the area around it is empty. It just lost a lot of its population. We turned it into the Perry Ave Community Farm. And we said, not an urban farm, Perry Ave Community Farm, to put that label out there to say this is embracing community first. We actually have not had any problem with people showing up and asking for produce. They actually tell us what they want to have grown, because it's the constructive relationships of the neighbors and people talking and this and the other. Literally, we had so many demand for okra, we would be remiss if we didn't try okra. And we did a great job of growing okra, watermelon, cantaloupe, chard, collard greens, kale. And what happened was, again, and this is where I take issue with folks in the urban ag movement that say it's about education, it's about access, because folks just had not had an opportunity, especially the youth, just to have it there. The second it was there, we said, all right, we're going to plant chard, collards, kale, arugula right next to each other and see what people do with it. People say, I don't know what this is. I'm not a cook it. See the chard? You know how to cook spinach? Yeah, I know how to cook spinach. I'll try the chard. All of a sudden, they're coming back saying, I researched the chard. I figured out this is a way to fight cancer. Is that true? They reached it. They came back to us, and they said, we say yes, but we need more help and support to show that, you know. So that's our landscape now. That's where youth come, bring their families, in a hole that used to be a pipeline to prison. The kids get paid to work. They get paid to go to school. There's stipends for the travel, because they are productive. They are helping with transforming that landscape. That house that was what Brad was referencing to is the Think Through House. It was a house that was built in the by the time that the market burst in 2007, 2008, nobody wanted that house. City wanted to potentially tear it down. They didn't know what to do with it. Most people didn't know what to do with it. It's a target for a lot of different negative things. What we did is we turned it into a canvas. That canvas sent a beacon and a signal to say, there's something happening here. What was interesting, because our relationship with the farm, now all of a sudden people said, we want to watch and see what happens. People would let us know if there was anything happening, anybody around, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of constructive relationships. Man, woman, elder, man, woman, boy, girl, bonsai tree, tree of life, key wisdom. And then lo and behold, the International Fulbright Scholars came to volunteer. So we had 80 International Fulbright Scholars from 30 countries volunteering and working with the kids across the street. It's priceless. We had corporate volunteer days. People drop their titles and just be human. To meet each other, share stories, share life. Our pop-up farmers market, our farmer's stand, is built by the kids. Once we put up the canopy, the signal goes out. People say, you're open, this and the other, boom, boom, boom. There's certain days on Fridays. We have a Fresh Food Fridays. We've created a pattern based off of what the feedback from the community has given us. But it's interesting. Watch how diverse this ecosystem becomes, right? In an area that was not, we have homeschooling, we have intergenerational, we have master carpenters, we have trades folks, we have high school dropouts, we have, students on their way to becoming PhDs. We have folks from the Netherlands. We had folks from this, that, and the other. It didn't matter where you come from. It's just you're there to be productive. So we have a range of different types of products. Yes, we grew watermelon in the south side of Chicago. So we call it the Think Do House. So we have a space to deconstruct what we're learning. Think it, do it, share it. Remix it, try it again, share it, bring more people in. So there's a resonance that we can't keep up with at this point, which is great. Cooking classes, culinary medicine, high school projects, high school field trips, construction projects. We've made a makeshift construction space in the back space, in the backyard. I don't know if you know that yet. Right. we're not supposed to say so much. A carpenter's greenhouse built by the kids with the carpenter from the neighborhood that then has 20 raised beds that are open to the community with no fence. People come and graze and pick and they tell us what they want to grow, and now they're starting to claim the boxes for the spring. We're not charging them. The presence is invaluable, right? Keep your $30 from an allotment garden. So those students, that's in the back, that's a table. That we're now, that's a farmhouse. The Raber House used to be a farmhouse that, 1868. It's just been sitting, historic landmark, archived. And this landscape started to change really rapidly. That's a shipping container that we turned into a stage. It's just performing. Everything is a performance. So, last thing is we got this stuff into two shows, Columbia College Art Gallery and the Art Institute Art Gallery, where the furniture is now highlighted in the Chicago Architecture Biennial for an international tourist attraction. Those are the career technology education, vocational career schools that took found object lumber from pallets that people were throwing away. We turned it into furniture that tells another type of story of really challenging the notion of an ecology of absence. So the American flag built from pallets, which really goes head on to saying, what are we doing with our waste stream? Especially if these are the kids that were pipelined to prison. Last thing is a vertical garden aquaponics system that has sensors at the Art Institute. So we're monitoring the pH, the ammonia, the nitrite, the flow rates, et cetera, in a 20x20 modular classroom space that we're inviting people from all over the city and other cities to come in and share what they're doing and how they're learning. That's our Nuosphere ecosystem. Look it up. Nuosphere is Nuosphere. It's a collection, an ecosystem of thought. It links into the large lots program. So back to the ground. We are becoming a site where a lot of people are saying they've acquired property for a dollar through the city with a policy, and we'll probably come up during the conversation. And they're saying they want to have a relationship in the demonstration. So our youth are going to help them try and figure out how to transform what they've got. And again, it goes back to the green, healthy neighborhoods. So what do we do with these shipping containers? Who knows? We're exploring concepts. IIT, School of Architecture, is doing some studies, but we're looking at the notion of what can happen.